Welcome to another episode of the Marvel Masterworks Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam. And with me is my co-host, Donnie. Donnie, how's it going?
What's up, everyone? Here, direct from the 1970s to bring you comic book wisdom, it is the Emerald Enthusiast to bring you this in startling Emerald Vision.
So you traveled back from the 1970s? Is that what you're telling us? Or is that...
I came from the era where the collars were longer than your neck.
Okay. You still haven't answered the question whether time travel was involved.
No, time travel was not involved. It was a linear occurrence. But so, I will tell you, I had some flashbacks.
Called birth.
I had some flashbacks seeing some of those clothing choices in this WandaVision episode.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
You wouldn't see me in those outfits, but that's...
I wore some things like that when I was a kid. You know,
I was more of a 90s kid because I was born in 83, so technically my clothes veered more 90s. There it is. But yeah, we're not here to talk about a different era. Well, we will by virtue of WandaVision, but
here to give you fashion advice. Yeah. So.
We're not here to talk about decades or the fashion that was prevalent in them. The main gist of our conversation tonight is, of course, two episodes of WandaVision, because three and four are the ones we have to cover. Before that, there is some brief news, Donnie. Actually, before that, what have you been watching?
Not counting WandaVision. A lot of Star Wars, still making my way through Clone Wars, Supergirl Season 3. And I've also been watching The Flight Attendant, not really comic book related, unless you count, Kelly Cuoco, who was on.
Kelly Cuoco, Harley Quinn, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Big Bang Theory and, Harley Quinn. So, yeah, that's what I've been into lately. A lot of the Clone Wars, trying to get my way through that and fill that kind of hole in my Star Wars viewing.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Also, Donnie, you mentioned Kaley Cuoco. Hold on, wait. Gotta get some. Entertainment while you're here. Wait a minute. Really unprofessional on the podcast, but here we go. Do I have this right? All right. So, about Kaley Cuoco. She's on the list. I'm going to actually keep this pen up here for whenever I have to do that. That's my new prop for the podcast, folks, a pen.
So which multiverse Adam is married to her?
See, now you're getting into particulars that I can't reveal on the show because partly I haven't chosen the Earth yet, and secondly, that's the big April Fool's show across all networks where every episode I reveal a multiverse wife. So that's the plan. So it's a big event. It's like the WrestleMania of this charade I've been perpetrating this.
Which is getting closer, by the way.
Yeah, we may have to dust off the Wayback WrestleMania for that event. We'll see. So that's Kaley Cuoco, and she's on the list. And in terms of what I've been watching, what have I been watching? I guess, does this even count? I mean, we've touched on it on the network before. I've been watching this YouTube channel. It's Wrestling Bios, and they go through the careers of different wrestlers.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So, me being an old school Hulkamaniac, I've been watching the career of Hulk Hogan in this YouTube bio series. And it's pretty cool. I get to relive some nostalgic moments from my youth. And
I do feel lucky having, seen the 1980s develop as far as the WWF and NWA, AWA, all of that. Having seen all that firsthand, I'm very lucky to have witnessed that era of wrestling. So
I've had fun watching that. And comic book related, on the Marvel side, well, there hasn't really been much, but you've been reading. That's we're not. This is a vidcast where we talk about the show, so we're technically technically we're not doing the reading segment. Well, we could if you want, because we do both on this show. So, Yeah, since you brought it up, what have you been reading?
What have I been reading? Lots of Green Lantern, so we can talk about it on the Emerald Echo podcast, available on iTunes and Podbean.
And that's why you wanted me to bring that up, so that you could do that shameless plug.
Shameless plug!
I've been reading, I'll tell you what I've been reading. I really am, and I keep bringing up this series, but it's so darn good. It's the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Well, they've split off into two books, Mighty Morphin, and then one is called Power Rangers. Okay. And it is like, and I would have never, look, I'm a fan of the franchise, but you asked me before I started reading this book a couple of years ago, would I ever think I would put this book consistently in my, you know, top reads of the month or of the week or whatever, what have you. I would say, yeah, probably not. I mean, what are the chances of it being that good? I mean, it has a chance of being good, but that good, I would never say that. But here we are, and it is on that list. Another list. Not, you know, I seem to have a lot of lists. I'm, you know, I have more lists than, you know how websites do lists? I'm like a walking website, you know, top 10 this, top 10 that. Although my multiverse wise list is far more than 10. It's ridiculous.
I was going to say, I've heard a lot more than 10 names since I've known you. So
the final number is staggering. But anyway, so I've been reading those two books, and they're fantastic. So for any fans of the franchise that have not picked up these two books, I recommend them. And specifically, if you're fans of the Green Ranger, there's a new Green Ranger in town. So, okay. I seem to gravitate to things with the color green too, Donny. You know, it's Green Lantern, then Green Ranger. I like the, you know, Green Hornet too. Ninja Turtles are all green. So,
right. And you like the Hulk?
Oh, of course. Who doesn't like a good smash every now and then?
And your co-host is the Emerald Enthusiast.
Yeah. So it's all green. It's St. Patrick's Day quite a bit of the year. Though I don't drink green beer because I'm not really much of a beer drinker. Unless the Leafs really disappoint me, then I'll throw some back. But I haven't had to do that too often this year, so.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Tonight was a little disappointing, but we won't go there.
But they got a point. So, hey, take the silver lining in everything. So, enough of the preamble. We've done it all. We've talked about what we're watching, what we're reading. It's time to get into the last two issues. Episodes, I should say.
Episodes, yes.
Actually, there's news. There's a bit of news. I always skip over the news. I don't understand. I get excited because WandaVision makes me excited. Specifically Wanda, but Vision's okay too. Anyway.
I don't think you're alone there, by the way. Just Elizabeth throwing that out there.
Good Lord, she's fantastic. Anyway, the comic news. Let's refocus now. I'm going to center myself. You know, put the pen away, recenter. All right, we're good. So comic news. Remember Heroes Reborn, Donnie?
Yes, sir.
Remember how that wasn't the most popular event in Marvel's history?
I do remember it being somewhat divisive.
Somewhat is a nice way of putting it. So Marvel is intent on using that name. And they're bringing back that title, but not in the same way that they did way back when, in the 90s.
Okay.
I think it was 90s, right? Well, this time around, it's an event series, and I don't know how long the event is. There's no particulars. But Jason Aaron is going to be writing. He's currently writing The Avengers.
Okay.
And a whole host of other Marvel books. And Ed McGuinness he's going to draw. And Ed McGuinness is a good artist, but you're going to see a lot of these characters with Jay Leno chins, just forewarning. But the concept of this is, and this is just the bare bones, but we find ourselves on an Earth, in a universe, where the Avengers never became the Avengers.
Now that sounds like an interesting concept.
I mean, assuming, you know, from what I've read, I assume Tony Stark Steve Rogers, all these people are around, but events went a certain way where they didn't form the Avengers. Instead, the super team protecting the Marvel universe are the Squadron Supreme, which are essentially Marvel's analog to DC characters, right?
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is, have you read the Avengers title recently, like the current one?
I've read Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
That's the one with the Black Panther's on the team, Blade, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's another Avengers book right now.
There's only one. Well,
yeah.
There's Savage Avengers, but I don't count. It's good, but I don't count it as part of it. When I say Avengers, I mean Avengers.
Right. Although, I didn't know if Conan and
Venom on the same team is a pretty... It's a good book. We may have to cover it at some point. But,
you know, I'm down to cover anything Venom related.
Yeah, well, that is true. And you can also cover your bed with Venom bed sheets, if that suits your fancy. I'm sure that'll go over well with the wife on your end. Can you imagine? I can imagine that conversation. So, honey, about some bed sheets that have Venom in his tongue sticking out. You cool with that? I'm sure nothing will ensue from that conversation. Nothing negative. But anyway, so. Fans of that series, the Avengers series, will know that the Squadron Supreme have already been mentioned. Spoilers, Coulson is heading up that team. He's in charge of that team. So I wonder if the events of whatever's happening with the Phoenix War or Saga, whatever it's called, mm-hmm. is going to lead us into this Earth universe where the Avengers don't exist. And I'm really curious to see where this goes. It sounds like a fascinating concept. Jason Aaron is more than capable. And like I said, aside from the chin issue, Ed McGuinness is a really good artist. So I have fond memories of Ed McGuinness because when I got back into comics, he was drawing Superman, Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was my first title mm-hmm. back into the comics universe. So fond memories of that.
Yes.
But what do you think of the concept, Donnie? And using the Heroes Reborn?
You know, I'm always interested in concepts like this. I like these kind of reality warping situations like this. They always have possibilities as to what they're going to do. And you obviously know that things will eventually return to the status quo. So if you don't like it, eventually things will go back to normal. Right. But it can be a very fun ride along the way.
And of course, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Blade is the only character that seems to remember that things were different at one point in time. So
that sounds interesting.
You know, Blade's involved. I'm there. Adam is a fan. To talk about myself in the third person like The Rock, you know, I've aped Chris Jericho, now I'm going to ape The Rock. Adam is a fan of Blade. So anything Blade is in, Adam will be checking out. And you won't want to smell what I'm cooking because I don't cook very well. So just leave it at that. However, so that's the news. We're both interested in it. We also have a show called Comics Corner. I'm willing to say that there may be a few Comics Corner episodes devoted to this series later down the line.
And you can find that right here on YouTube.
I just set you up. I'm the Mitch Marner of the podcast, and you just finish off the... Yeah,
oh,
you're
sorry.
Like... You're like Austin Matthews, just finishing off the assist. Anyway, there's a little bit of everything on this podcast. Food, hockey, just do it all here.
Lots of wisdom.
Yeah, lots of... some people would call that nonsense, but whatever floats your boat, whatever you want to call
Better
it.
Better living through vidcasting.
Yes. That'll be another podcast on the network. But guest starring Martha Stewart.
Why did you say that name?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. She can teach Steven how to make a couple of muffins, maybe.
Yeah.
Still on this muffin thing. Anyway, all right.
Chop, chop, Alfred.
Yeah, it's time. It's time now. You know what would be good to review WandaVision with? A nice tall glass of milk and some muffins. But I don't have muffins here because Steven is sleeping because of the time difference in friggin' England. That's what's the situation is, people. You know, you hire Butler and you know, I got to contact Ted DiBiase to see, you know, everybody's got a price. What's it going to take to get some muffins? That's what I want to know. Anyway, so WandaVision, episode 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little bit of a rundown.
Episode 3 was called Now in Color, and you see that we have skipped to the 1970s, and you get this kind of wonderful vintage 1970s intro with kind of, you know, the happy music, you know, WandaVision.
Family style, yeah.
Yeah, WandaVision, yeah. I really like that. Again, you know, all the colors and the visuals of that era. Very Brady Bunch-like, and that's where we're picking up with this. However, I will say that in this episode, it seems like there are more clues that something is amiss here. It's not just your, you know, sitcom-style stuff that is going on. You start to see that more characters are kind of looking around saying, something's wrong here, something is amiss. I've noticed that several times. We saw Herb... cutting the wall. At one point, we saw Vision look around and say something's not right, and then things kind of skip back. And so we start to see that people are wondering what is going on here because something's not right. So what was your first impressions?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, they play it off as this fun 70s romp, but it does get a little bit eerie. It's the best word I can describe it. When you see people starting to figure out something's wrong, like their facial expressions, the music, things get, you know, strange, is a good word for it. The interesting thing for me is that I thought the way the trailers played things, it seemed to me like, is her name Agatha, right?
Are you talking about Agnes?
Agnes.
I'm still trying to get the names right, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, Agnes. I thought Agnes was behind all this.
I thought she might know more. And I obviously, she does know more, but I don't know that she's behind it, so.
Right. But I don't think she's behind it anymore. And there are things in the episode that lead me to believe that. And so, but before we get to, you know, who we think is behind it all, the interesting thing is Wanda is pregnant, as you know, at the end of last episode. And here, like, she's going through pregnancy faster than Quicksilver can run.
Very much so. She goes from 0 to 60.
And good Lord, if a woman I know started progressing like that and I was responsible for it, God knows what would happen there. I mean, but a lot of confusion. I would start cursing the list at that point. But yeah,
I like how Vision said, you know, when he caught the papaya, he was like, "I can't wait to be a papaya."
Yeah,
he's got the dad humor down.
He's got the dad jokes. The interesting thing for me too was how I think her pregnancy is throwing the powers off.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, her water breaks and literally it's raining inside the house.
Raining inside, yes.
And you see something is amiss. Another reason why you know something is amiss is because the doctor's talking about going on vacation.
The doctor who is a little patronizing to Wanda.
Yeah, that wouldn't have gone. I mean, they're framing it as the 70s.
Yes.
But that kind of stuff would not, if it wasn't that, would not go down nowadays.
Yeah, my youngest daughter was watching with me, and when she heard those patronizing comments about the fruit, my daughter was like, "Say what now?" And I was like,
"A lot of high rolling going on in there." Yeah,
yeah.
Different times back then, my friend. Different
yeah. times. He was obviously an analog of a lot of attitudes back then, but that again, that was played off for laughs. So,
right, and it's funny because. He keeps talking about this vacation, but you get a sense that he also knows he ain't going nowhere. Right. You know? And the other thing that kind of tips you off that something's amiss is Vision uses his powers right in front of the guy at one point. You know, to speed him back to Wanda in time for the delivery. Vision wouldn't do that under normal circumstances. So that's interesting. Then Monica Rambeau comes into play, right? The neighbor.
Yes.
And they're talking about the pregnancy and things are, you know, 70s hunky-dory. I don't know if that was a word in the 70s, but screw it, I'm using it now.
I believe it was. Although I will say, she doesn't get referred to as Monica, I think. In this episode, it's not until the next episode.
Yeah, we know who it is because of our.
Yeah, that we learned that Geraldine is Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, so. Geraldine, that's it. Thank you.
Yes, again, I'm still getting the names, you know, everything in order as well, so I understand. So
yeah, so anyway, they're talking about, you know, the pregnancy, and they're all, hey, cool, great, and then some people, I've been seeing this chatter online. They're saying that. The stork in the episode.
Yes.
People are banding around theories that the stork is Mephisto.
That's an interesting concept, yeah.
And two things that keep getting brought up are the red mist when he appears and disappears is different, is a different shade to Wanda's, you know, magical color scheme.
Right.
When she does the wax on, wax off hand movement. and if you notice, whatever her name is, Monica's pants, they had fishes on them, right?
Yes.
The stork was always pecking at these fish. Now, the reason why what this has to do with Mephisto is a fish was a symbol of Christianity, right?
Yes.
So pecking at, attacking the fish, some people are saying, is a metaphor for the devil attacking, you know, Christianity, Christ and all that. So I found that very interesting. What, do you think that's a possibility, or do you think people are just, you know,
I think any kind of, you know, mystical characters are in play here, whether, you know, there's a lot of theories that this is connected to Doctor Strange 2. I think we're starting to get an idea that maybe there aren't a lot of villains involved in this. They may be more of kind of sideline players. But at the end of episode 4, we start to get clues as to what is kind of, you know, the essential force.
Yeah.
Behind all this.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that Mephisto is behind it, because we get clues in episode 4.
He could be around. He could be.
Sure, yes.
He could be a presence, if you will.
Well, seeing this kind of display of power from Wanda, that could be very enticing to Mephisto. So.
Right. So Wanda goes into labor. Geraldine slash Monica helps deliver the babies, because there's two.
Right.
And again, things still seem, hey, look, you two boys, congratulations. And then they keep talking as Wanda cradles the babies and such. And then Wanda mentions her brother, because she talks about her being a twin, having a brother, and she says Pietro. And then Geraldine slash Monica says he was killed by Thanos, wasn't he?
You mean Ultron.
Ultron,
yeah.
Sorry.
Right. He was killed by Ultron. Yes.
And then Wanda gets this really angry, perplexed, agitated look on her face, and basically says, "Why did you say that name?"
By the way, I want to say that Elizabeth Olsen, she can go from funny to quirky to downright terrifying.
Yeah, like that woman does several things to me. Like, she's a turn on. She makes me laugh, but then she scares the bejesus out of me.
When she looked at Geraldine and was like, "Who are you?" I was like, "You better get out of there." Because none of her powers have manifested at this point. So, you know, it's not the time to be taking on Wanda.
When did Age of Ultron come out, Donnie?
2015.
Yeah. So my Earth 15 wife is very scary at times. She can be very... I did that on the fly. It may change by the time I actually review the list. But right there, that's on the fly, folks. That's how we do things on this podcast. I'm prepared. Anyway. So, yeah, you're right. She's got a lot of range. So she says, "Why did you say that name?" I don't know if she actually says that, but that's the gist of it. Or, "How do you know that?" Or something to that effect. But let's just go with, "Why do you say that name?" Because there's a gif and it's funny.
Yeah.
And it aggravates all the right people. And so, then next thing you see, Wanda says, "I think you better leave now." Mm-hmm. And next thing you see is
that was Vision returning to the house with the doctor. Yeah. We don't see Monica after that. Yeah.
Well, don't we see her getting launched?
No, that's not until the next episode.
We don't see it at the very end of the episode?
You don't see her getting launched. You see her kind of coming out of...
Kind of flying out of the bubble of some sort. And not in a self-propulsion way. She's just... as if she was thrown out of the bubble.
Right. You kind of see her, you know, kind of bouncing out of that and to where S.H.I.E.L.D. is. S.W.O.R.D., excuse me. So, yeah.
But then Vision starts asking questions. You know, where's Geraldine or whatever, mm-hmm. and Wanda says, "Oh, she went home." And then, you know, Vision keeps pressing, and then Wanda does the whole no thing, and the episode kind of rewinds just to the point before Vision starts asking all these questions. Mm-hmm. So even that simple no, and then that jump cut to insinuate that something has been altered or edited is kind of eerie.
Yes.
And again, I got to give credit to the music, because the music really informs and elicits the emotion that they want the audience to feel.
Yeah. That would be a great power to have, by the way. If, you know, something bad happened in your life and you could just say no and...
Yeah, I'd like to edit the Leafs overtime play at the end there. And,
you know, that's a good point.
You know, I could do a lot of things with that power. Would have fixed my original podcasting problem real quick back in the day. But that's neither here nor there. So, is there anything? Did we miss anything? Or is there something you want to bring up? And then,
I just want to say that. You really start to see when Wanda is in pain, you start to see things happen that don't seem like conscious decisions at all. Her powers are manifesting all around. And so that leads us to believe, and we'll get to this in just a minute. I don't want to get to this right away, but there is, you know, her powers are obviously affecting everything, because we see a lot of kind of old school effects going on. You know, pictures are kind of flying around, and you see the changing of the coats as Geraldine is with her, and so things are starting to get a little clearer that, you know, maybe not all of Wanda's powers are under her control specifically that she's not controlling everything. So
and she put that crib together quite efficiently.
Yeah, very much so.
Imagine trying to build an IKEA product with her powers. It'd be a snap, no problem. I think you get a sense of her powers are not working 100% at her accord, which could make that theory about Mephisto correct. We'll have to wait and see. But so I guess, should we rate the episode?
Yes.
All right. What do you think, sir?
So were we doing on scale of five?
For movies and TV, I think we do letter grade, and then okay. For comics.
I'm going to give this one an A. It really started to build on, it built on the first two episodes, but it started to pivot things in a direction to let you understand that, you know, this isn't just, you know, some funny romp. This isn't just a sitcom. Obviously, something very important is happening here. And episode four really takes off. So this was kind of the good, you know, as you just said, a launching pad for episode four. So I'll give it an A. It accomplished what it wanted to.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an A- because I really liked the balance between when to be a funny sitcom and when to slowly start pulling back the curtain and being a little ominous. I think the balance is pitch perfect there. Yeah. And how they and the tools, like the editing tools, the musical tools, all the tools they use to make that transition and change the way the audience is experiencing something. So yeah, and the other thing is the references to Pietro and the MCU, you know, larger events in the MCU start coming in very, very small doses here. And so I really like it. A- for me for episode three.
All right.
So where does episode four take us, sir?
Before we get to episode four, let me just say this. This is the first time that the show opens up with the Marvel intro, the Marvel Studios intro. And for my daughter, and really for me too, I'll say that was very welcomed because it gave me kind of a sense of normality returning.
Hasn't it opened up with the Marvel logo the whole time?
I think it has. That was the first time. Okay.
This one it comes in later. Actually, there's a cold open, and then.
Okay.
After a certain amount of time, it transitions to the Marvel logo.
I'll have to go back and watch that. But I guess maybe, you know, that was the first time I really noticed it.
Yeah, it's been there before, but yeah.
Okay.
It's always good to see it, though.
It was
I'm in a good place now. Like whatever.
Yeah, it was very welcoming to see that. And although, obviously, I do like the other, you know, Wanda intros, this was very welcome. And we start off with seeing the effects of the blip, where everyone is coming back because the Avengers have set things right in Endgame. And so you see Geraldine, a.k.a. Monica, actually, you know, being reconstituted. And that was just a really powerful image. They like grab you right away to say, yeah, this episode's going to be different than the previous three.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's really kind of... I remember when I was watching the Avengers Infinity War?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I was getting the two of them confused. When the snap happens and they start disappearing.
Yes.
I remember thinking how just creepy and disturbed I was by seeing that. Like people just turning to ash and just like freaking.
I remember people in the movie theater like crying. I mean, it really had an impact on people.
It's funny because I mean, hindsight gives you 20/20. But you know, like when Spider-Man disappears,
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
Yeah. You know, I saw some girls, you know, in the role behind. You know, they're getting, like you said, they're crying. And I'm like, but it's Spider-Man. He was just in a billion-dollar movie. Like, hello? he's coming back.
It was like, still hard. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know. I get it. It was hard. Like, I was more emotional based on Tony's reaction to it than, hey, Spider-Man's there. Because I knew Spider-Man, he's not going to kill Spider-Man off. Are you stupid? Come on.
Well, you know, comic book readers know everything's cyclical. Characters, inevitably come back. But, you know, for people experiencing that type of story.
Yeah, you can tell who's not a comic book reader. And it's the ones that when Spider-Man dies after making a billion-dollar movie, they start bawling. Anyway, so, but I always thought that, like, it was creepy, the way that, you know, the disintegration and the dust and the whole thing. The people coming back like that in a reverse-engineered way is just as creepy. And the chaos that it causes, think about it. Imagine, for the people that lost somebody, that somebody's coming back, it's a really happy moment. And even for the people coming back, obviously, but in that initial moment, it's like, what the heck, you know, the hell's going on?
Well, you heard one of the hospital staff say, they're all coming back and we don't have the capacity. Yeah. So you can imagine the chaos that created around the world.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. And of course, Monica Rambeau comes back because they're showing, you know, this was earlier in time, as you alluded to. And I like the fact that we heard a voiceover from Captain Marvel. Like, it's a memory from when Captain Marvel was talking to her when she was a little girl in the Captain Marvel movie.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Because it gives me a chance to do two things. It gives me a chance to say that Brie Larson is on the list. And adult Monica Rambeau, also on the list.
Excellent choice. I will say,
I use this pen more now than I ever did when I was in school. I'll just tell you that.
Yes. Seeing her in modern attire, she really did look beautiful.
Business pants, yeah. Every time he sees me do that pen thing. As he's editing this video. So it was a nice callback to Captain Marvel. I dug that. But man, I felt so bad for her because the last time she was around, her mother was beating and surviving cancer.
Yeah.
And when she gets unsnapped, she lost her mother. I mean, yes.
She finds out that the cancer came back and her mother had died 3 years earlier. What a shocking way. Not only are you reconstituted to life, but then you get that tragedy on top of that. So
it's like, wow.
Extremely powerful moment there.
It's like, hey, I'm back. And then, oh, I just got kicked in the, you know.
Yeah.
It's the double-edged sword.
Right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of sword, the Sentient Weapon Observation Response Division.
You know, I should get a muffin because I didn't even plan that segue, and there it is.
Again, you set me up. The assist.
Yeah. That was very good. See, come on, Steven. Muffin. Chuck and Jim muffins. Let's go.
Double muffin time.
Yeah. You know, if our audience isn't hungry for muffins after this episode, they must not like muffins. Anyway, so we got Sword now. And it's cool that, you know, Monica's mother is the founder. Much like Peggy Carter is sort of the, in a sense, founder of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Right.
So there's a parallel between the past and the modern MCU. The founder of the two preeminent government organizations, right?
Right.
Is both the strong-willed women who lost a loved one, you know.
That's a good point. And what's funny is we see in this episode
with hanky-panky time action happening.
That Monica's mother grounded her because, you know, she thought anyone who comes back from, you know, the snap and eventually, you know, the blip, that they should be grounded. And so, you know, Monica's having trouble dealing with that because she comes back and she realizes she's grounded. So,
yeah. So, in a literal sense, not the...
Right.
You know, the teenager's acting out.
Yeah.
Go to your room.
You're gone. No, not go to your room like Groot or anything like that. So,
yeah. I just wanted to clear that up because, you know, you never know. Because remember the last time a lot of people... Imagine if people are just tuning in and they've binge-watched 4 episodes of WandaVision, and the last time they saw Monica, she was a kid. That's why I had to clarify the grounded comment, because if they are new people.
Right.
And I was confused. But when she came, I'm like, wait a minute, how long has she been gone? Because, like...
Well,
I was confused. See, I was initially confused, because you didn't really see her materializing in that way. Mm-hmm. She was sitting in the chair, if you remember. So I'm like, wait a minute. Did the snap, it didn't make sense because of the time difference, but I was like, wait a minute, was she a kid when the snap happened? No. Like, I had to rebalance myself with Captain Marvel's timeline because I was like,
yeah, that was the 90s. Right.
And then the guy said grounded, and it took me to, and the reason why I mentioned it, because I'm like, wait a minute, she's an adult. What the hell is she? And they're like, oh, plane. I get it.
Your mother said go to bed without dinner.
No, but I was like, wait a minute. I'm confused. Like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
And it's because she was a damn little kid the last time I saw her properly. God. Come on, Marvel, don't screw with my sense of time here. I mean, we're locked down all the time. Doesn't mean anything. Every day blends into every other day. Who the hell?
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything. I don't know what day it is, what month it is. It's just so...
Yeah.
I know we're in 2021 because freaking the countdown told me. Otherwise, what would be the difference?
Living in quarantine is kind of like living in a what-if comic.
Yeah, I don't like this comic, though. I want to get out. I want to move on from this issue.
Exactly.
This issue stinks.
Yeah. and the miniseries, and let's go back to the main continuity.
Yeah, please. For God's sake. Pfizer, Moderna, help us get back to the friggin', you know, get some super soldier serum and let's go. Let's get out of here. get that super soldier serum going. So, yeah, I was confused, which is why I mentioned the whole, you know, I had to clarify the grounded thing because admittedly it makes me look stupid, but I'm not alone. I hope I'm not alone, because if I am, then it looks pretty bad on me. And it's all, you know what? It's the fact that I have lack of muffins, and that's Steven's fault, folks. So, at SteveBob1984, that's his Twitter. Yell at him. Tell him we need muffins.
Please don't harass Alfred.
well, don't harass him, but you know, give him a nice warning. You know, give him a nice prodding that you know muffins.
Right. Yeah, a gentle reminder.
Yeah, very nice, very polite. You know, tell him you like the Queen. Give her a thumbs up, and then mention the muffins. That's how I would approach it. Because Steven is very fond of the monarchy in his country. Anyway. I like to bust his chops.
What was it? This episode, or was it episode 4 or 3 when Vision was changing the doll and he gives it the? Yeah, he's practicing, you know, being the dad.
I think it was last episode because 4 we didn't really see Vision except for moments that happened in other episodes. So
right, yeah, I guess that was episode 3.
Let's continue teeing up this episode. Monica Rambeau's grounded. She's sent on a field mission. She's sent to this little town. On the outskirts of this little town, Westville, and she meets the two
Westview.
Not small, but Westview. Say whatever. All these little towns. Anyway, so Westview, which is guarded by, in my headcanon, the two moronic sheriffs from Superman 2. And so they're guarding Westview, and they've got this cockamamie story about how Westview doesn't exist, and it's actually there from Eastview. It's very confusing, and Monica Rambeau is trying to figure it out, and she's got some assistance from somebody we've seen before in another MCU franchise. Who is that?
We actually see a couple characters that we've seen before.
Right, but the one particularly, specifically in the field with Monica is From Ant-Man, right?
Is from what?
From Ant-Man, right? The guy.
Oh, yes, yes.
What's the character's name?
Shoot, and now that's... See, I'm trying to get these things... I knew you were going to ask me some question. I didn't know.
Is the guy's name Wu, or is it Agent Wu? I don't even know. Is it like that?
No, isn't it Lieutenant Wu? All right, I'll look it up. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, okay, so while we're talking about that, while he's looking it up, just so I can clarify, neither the character, whether it's the character's name or the actor's name, neither are related to Ric Flair or the expression he makes during and after matches.
Yes, we see Jimmy Wu is his name, because he actually says later on in the episode that he can't wait to have a little Jimmy running around.
Yeah, okay, so it is a Jimmy Wu, okay.
Which is not a reference to R-Truth, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's wrestling references galore in this episode. So he's here, and we also have...
Speaking of, I got a theory at the end of this episode I'll tell you, but go ahead, sir.
Okay, so we also have another returnee. The last time we saw her is Thor the Dark World, which is largely a movie I'm trying to forget. I digress. She's here. And that's Darcy, right?
Right. She was a welcome return, too. I thought she was hilarious.
I like Darcy. It's just the general movie that is Thor the Dark World. I like parts of it, but yeah, anyway, that's a different podcast. But since I've done this for every other mention so far, Darcy is played by Kat Dennings. Hmm? And you know something about Kat Dennings, Donnie?
I'm going to guess.
She's on the list.
She made the list.
So she's in there, and her interaction, her banter with Agent Wu is very, very funny. So she keeps her kind of function, like, what she did in the Thor movies, intact here. But I liked it because, you know, through some weird occurrence, which I think they kind of give some explanation, which makes all kinds of comic book sense, but not real world sense, they're able to watch what's happening in Westville via black and white TV, and they're watching the same TV show that we are.
We are, yeah. She kind of terms it as the universe making a TV show about two Avengers.
Yeah.
Maybe that was Jimmy Woo that said that, but yeah. Somebody said that and she was like, yeah, you know, basically that's my working theory. So
yeah. So they're watching the show and you see clips from episodes past. And they're watching it. Which I think is pretty cool. Because, you know, when they're having moments where her and Wanda Wanda and Vision kiss, or when Wanda suddenly becomes pregnant, Darcy is getting emotionally invested in the characters, much like we as an audience member would. So I kind of find that meta aspect of it was really cool.
Yeah.
So here's where we start seeing the thing about Wanda that we've kind of been tippy-toeing around. So let's get into it.
Well, there is a comic book story, and I want to throw this out there, called House of M. And a lot of people have suggested that this is some of the inspiration for the show, and that the reality that Wanda and Vision that they are in right now is a creation of Wanda's powers, whether she's done this intentionally or that she has partially lost control of herself, maybe because of the trauma of losing Vision in Infinity War.
And he died twice, right?
What, he died twice? You actually do see him at the end of this episode with the stone ripped out.
No, but he died twice in the Avengers movies, the last two, right? Because he came back and then... So technically, he died twice.
Well, no, he wasn't... Was he in Endgame? I don't think he was in Endgame. I don't think he was brought back.
Well, that really, somebody mentioned him dying twice.
Okay.
And that better be the case, otherwise it ruins my joke, because I was going to say from the first death to the last death. So, you know.
Because you remember that famous line when, you know, Scarlet Witch confronts Thanos and, you know, she's like, you took everything from me. And he's like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Vision didn't exist in that timeline. So I can't remember.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the joke worked.
Golf clap.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely, you know, we've talked about it in other episodes and off air about the House of M connection or parallels or influence, I should say. And we are going to review House of M at some point, probably at the end of WandaVision. Donnie and I have talked about reviewing both House of M and the Vision 12-issue series because they have the most influence on this show. So we're going to do that. But also, could Wanda have made a... Here's where the Mephisto... Not mine, because I didn't invent it. I can't think what it for. Here's where the Mephisto thing might come in. Could Wanda have made a deal with Mephisto to help her create this fictional...
You know, that's possible, but I kind of get the vibe that something has happened and she's kind of lost control of her sanity a little bit. Maybe like in House of M.
Yeah.
And she has just... All of her power has kind of propagated around her and formed this illusion, and all of these other characters are living in it, because you do hear, I believe it was Monica say at one point in the episode, it's all Wanda.
Yeah.
It's all Wanda.
Yeah, that's at the end when we see her get thrown out of the forest, because we actually see her.
Now, yeah, we see it there.
By Wanda out of the force field. And that's what she says, it's all Wanda, which made me think, I mean, that was, first of all, that is a real showcase of how powerful she is.
Yeah.
To be able to maintain this manufactured world, you know, rebuild it when something goes wrong, rewind when something goes wrong, throw people in and out of it when, you know, like it's a Royal Rumble, you know, just throwing people over the top rope. But, you know, it made me think, you know, if there was ever somehow a confluence, a meeting of my multiverse wives, and you know, Elizabeth Olsen didn't agree with one of them, I wouldn't want to be one of those ladies. It could be in trouble.
I was just getting ready to say I would not want to be on her bad side. Because
imagine. Wow, that would be terrible. You'd always want to be on her good. So if she's married or dating somebody, you better get a good Valentine's Day gift for that one, because otherwise.
When she looked at Monica and was like, "Who are you?" and I was like, "Uh oh, this is not good.
This isn't going to end well for you, baby. Should have stayed home, grounded in your room, like your mother told you, because this ain't going to go well." I'm wondering if she's going to go full rogue again at some point. Not rogue the character, I mean bad.
Right, you're right. I know what you meant. Yeah.
But so, because there was that moment, and then when Vision comes in, first of all, that visual, when we see, I call him Zombie Vision.
Right.
with the missing stone, and he's all like dead and corrupt and zombified.
That was
a jump scare and a half, because she turns around and then all you see is cuts right there, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, you go from seeing something as lovely as Elizabeth Olsen to...
That's what I'm talking about, you know, the shift in tone here from the first three episodes. There's a little more creepiness here.
It's creepy. It is. The whole thing is just like the show within a show is kind of Chris Nolan-y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if this was a Chris Nolan production, he'd force, you know, what was watching WandaVision to do it with a crowd of people in the midst of a pandemic, because that's how Chris Nolan rolls. But, you know, so it's got that Inception Chris Nolan aspect to it. And then it's just Wanda being like this overpowering, or this potentially overpowering threat. And it's just the fact that she could snap at any, the fear that you see how damaged she must be from all the trauma to create this fictionalized, idealistic world. And then you see how she interacts with Monica. She could snap at any moment. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
even on Vision.
Right. Well, and we see too, I think, you know, Herb and Agnes kind of suggest that, you know, they're very nervous about what's going on. They know more than they're letting on, but they realize that, you know, things are dangerous. You start to see them be a little less like, you know, happy to just be there, that, and you see a lot of kind of, you know, kind of clandestine conversations between them. So they understand that things are about to ratchet up in terms of the danger level. So
yeah, I gotta say, I think bringing this into present day and, you know, truly existing and affecting and taking place in the MCU, really, I think, upped the ante and also the enjoyment for me to a totally different level.
To me, you know, just seeing characters that I knew again, you know, Agent Wu and Darcy, and, you know, starting to, you know, see the world outside of, you know, Wanda's TV land, seeing it start to develop again and the Marvel Cinematic Universe picking up again, that was just very comforting. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Disney Plus, and everyone involved in WandaVision.
So is there anything else you want to mention, or?
There is one thing.
Okay.
You mentioned music. Did you hear the song at the end?
Oh, you know I did, and again.
So you know who's behind this now. It's obviously Hulk Hogan.
It's Hollywood Hulk Hogan, baby. He's the third man. It's the new NWO team. Wanda and then what's her name? Agnes or Agatha, whatever the hell her name is.
Agnes, yes.
Those are the three. That's it. Vision is like poor Sting. He's, you know, he's all on his own.
You can almost hear Bobby Heenan shouting, "Whose side is she on?"
I was doing the whole Hulk Hogan NWO entrance where he's playing the air guitar. As to me, I was like, dude.
Oh boy. Great. Yeah. Now I'll have to give this episode an A. I mean, from start to finish, it was beautiful. So,
yeah, me too. I got to give it an A+. This was my favorite episode of the bunch. It was just exceptional,
from,
you know, start to finish. I can't wait till the next episode. I can't wait to see what they do here next. I know we still have some sitcom moments to come, but
yeah,
I think there'll be more interspersed now going forward with
what's happening. Well, I rewound the part in the hospital a couple times just to watch the reconstituting visuals. That was just really, creepy and powerful. And yeah, I just very happy with this series so far.
And you see the budget on display here. Right?
Yeah, cinematic budget, to be sure.
So it's great. So I think that pretty much brings it to a close, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more WandaVision talk after episodes 5 and 6.
Right.
But until then, if people want to continue talking Marvel with us, Donnie, where can they do that on social media?
You can find me on Twitter as the Emerald Enthusiast, where I do Green Lantern and various comic book product reviews. Hit me up there and let's talk about WandaVision.
Awesome.
Because 1 + 1 = family.
This is true.
That's a line from the song.
Indeed, yeah.
WandaVision.
And Donnie's breaking out the song. Our listenership, our viewership just plummeted.
No, just plummeted. I'll just get ready to say we're losing viewers by the second.
Yeah. If you want to follow me on social media where I do no singing whatsoever. It's at Adam_LeafsFan on Twitter. And in the link below on this very channel, you'll find the Facebook group. Go there, ask for permission to join the group, and I will add you. And if you so desire, we can continue the conversation there. But until next time, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Like and subscribe to this channel.
And tell your friends to tell your friends to too.
Indeed.
Close the show, sir.
Yes. And remember that WandaVision is not forever, but for life. From the first time they played NWO Hollywood Hulk Hogan's entrance theme to the last. So long, everyone.
So long, everyone.